refugees flowing into our country. That's over the Obama numbers, and those are thousands and thousands of people. A Trump administration will suspend the Syrian refugee program.
Well, today Trump will order a temporary ban on refugees from critical nations where we just don't have confidence that radicals, jihadis, haven't burrowed in and won't come here to do us harm. I think this will be wildly popular. By the way, over the last 3 years, no state has taken in more refugees per capita than North Dakota, a distinction the mayor of the state's largest city said should inspire nationwide pride. Fargo, North Dakota. We're reaching out and trying to help our neighbors, said Fargo Mayor Tim Mahoney. We have jobs. We have needs. And we're trying to grow as a state. Populous states like California and Texas take in the largest number of refugees, but relative to its population, North Dakota takes in the most. So from fiscal year 2014 through August of, and this goes back to 2015, so there are more now, it's taken in over 1,000 refugees, overwhelmingly Muslim. A very small percentage of Christian refugees, who are the most persecuted people throughout the Middle East, by the way. And Texas, you compare it all. But per capita, North Dakota takes the most in. So joining us now, I'm delighted he's with us. We're going to talk about Keystone, what this means for the state, and also this refugee ban, which Trump is putting in place today. It's a temporary ban from certain countries. And Senator Hoeven, I'm delighted to have you with us. Senator John Hoeven, welcome.
Hey, Laura. Yeah, good to be with you.
So on the refugee issue, before we get to this phenomenal news about Keystone and employing more American workers, what's your take on this?
Well, he's calling for a pause until we know exactly what our vetting process is accomplishing and making sure that America is safe. And all along, you know, we've talked about actually having safe zones over in some of these countries and in the Middle East as a way to better address the what's going on there and helping people who actually want to stay in their countries rather than having to flee their countries. So, yeah, I think it's reasonable to take this pause and make sure that we know that that we are able to vet and that, you know, that this is part of keeping America safe.
So you support this policy?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen what he's ruled out yet. But
Senator, I want to interrupt you. We're having a little difficulty hearing you. I don't know if we didn't check the audio or what, but we want to make sure we hear everything you say. So I'll ask it again. Do you support this policy of the temporary ban on refugees?
Yeah, I haven't seen what he's ruled out yet, but I think the concept of making sure that we can vet before people come into this country as part of keeping America safe is a reasonable approach.
North Dakota takes in a lot of refugees. A lot of money goes to Lutheran Social Services of North Dakota, as a lot of money goes to various Catholic resettlement of refugees and new immigrants. We're talking upwards of $100 million that go to these groups. Do you think this money is being well spent by these organizations? And couldn't this money be well spent on Americans who need help?
I think what we have to do with the program is make sure that the states have control. That's one of the, you know, one of the concerns that's been brought up, Laura, is that, you know, the federal government has not worked with the states sufficiently on these programs. And I think that's something that we have to work to do.
Is there friends of mine in Maine have reported similar issues as friends of mine who were born in Fargo. Tell me stories about difficulty in assimilation of people coming from countries like Bhutan, Bosnia, Cambodia. But beyond that, today, mostly Muslim countries, Iraq, Somalia, and so forth. Again, very few Christian refugees, mostly Muslim, but a very difficult, different world going to freezing plains of North Dakota to coming from Iraq in the Middle East. How does that assimilation work? Religious, cultural,
well,
and otherwise.
Yeah, well, the first thing I'd say is we have some cold weather, but we have some beautiful weather as well. And as far as people coming in, one, we want to know that they're properly and fully vetted. That is very important. Second, we want to make sure that when people are, you know, do come here, that, you know, the communities are able to adequately handle them and that, you know, that the services and so forth aren't putting a strain on the.
Well, have they put a strain in North Dakota? I assume you have a lot of people there per capita.
Yes, there is a concern, particularly in the Fargo area like you're talking about. And that's why I say it's so important that we get back to local and state control of these programs rather than, again, this federal one-size-fits-all.
Now, how do you vet people coming from a country like Iraq or Syria where the social structures have been destroyed? There is no real database. You can't tell if someone's been online with a jihadi on a cell phone that you throw away, you know, somewhere walking around in Syria. I mean, how do you vet these people?
That's the concern, and that's why President Trump is calling for the pause while we figure that out.
We're talking to Senator John Hoeven here on the Laura Ingraham Show. Let's move on to what happened yesterday. This has to be music to your ears after all of this delay with the Keystone Pipeline. Tell us what this will mean in terms of jobs going to Americans or those legally here in the United States to work.
Well, as you know, that project languished for 7 years under President Obama. He wouldn't make a decision. I actually sponsored the legislation we passed. It passed the Congress, both the Senate and the House, to approve the project. Then he vetoed it. And so really what this decision by President Trump means is that we are going to build the energy infrastructure we need in this country to move energy safely and as cost effectively as possible. And that's part of building a comprehensive energy plan that makes our nation energy secure, helps grow the economy, helps create jobs, and makes us more secure, you know, in terms of not needing to rely on OPEC or anyone else for our energy. It makes our nation just overall more secure as well as economically secure.
Could it be 28,000 jobs? That's what one of the estimates that I have for just the primary jobs created by this.
You know, during the construction phase, there'll be, as you say, thousands of jobs, but the longer-term ramification is that we'll have lower-cost energy in this country,
Bingo.
And that makes us more competitive across every single industry sector and helps grow our economy and outcompete the other countries in a global competition.
And, Senator Hoeven, what about the people who'll be working on the construction of this pipeline? What would you propose for ensuring or not, perhaps, that only American citizens or those legally allowed to work in the United States get those good jobs?
Well, that's why we need E-Verify, not just for these construction projects, but we need mandatory E-Verify across the country to make sure that people that are working in this country are, you know, have the proper and legal status to do so. That's not unique just to these projects. That's how we should be doing it across the country. I mean, part of securing our border means not only the wall and technology and people to secure the border, but we need mandatory E-Verify. And we also need to have entry-exit systems at our airports and seaports to address the visa overstay problem.
Back in 2006, 2007, I think you and our friend Senator Corker tried to get together to replace or amend what Marco Rubio and Schumer had put together for immigration reform. You were heavily involved in this. Rubio stepped back and ultimately said, you know, that, you know, he didn't support what ultimately was done. But at the time, this is what Jeff Sessions said back, I believe, in 2007.
With regard to this new amendment, I'd like to ask a couple of things to the Senators Hoeven and Corker. Does your amendment put enforcement before the legality? Does it put enforcement before amnesty? We don't trust Washington. We want to see you do the enforcement before you go and give this legal status, this amnesty.
Where do you stand on this today? Obviously, a lot has changed since 2007, Senator. I think you tried to make a good faith effort to bring us something different. But the concern from Sessions, who's going to be our attorney general, was that it wasn't enforcement first. It was a temporary legalization first, followed by the promise of enforcement later. Trump's clearly not going to buy that anymore.
Right, Laura. What I was trying to do is put the security piece in place. The amendment that I wrote, which later got modified and added to a larger bill, was to secure the border. That was my focus, was to secure the border. And I think that's the approach that we have to take. We have to first secure the border and then take a step-by-step approach to address the other aspects of immigration reform. But Americans want the border secured first, and that's actually what I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say border security, it means not only the wall, Laura, as well as more people and technology, it also means the mandatory E-Verify, the entry-exit systems at all international airports and seaports, and working to address the visa overstay problem, which is about 40% of the problem.
Oh, no, that's a big part of it. Yeah, it's a big part. I think when you look back on that, and I'm not trying to relitigate this to smash you over the head with it. I'm trying to see if we can all learn from what happened in 2007. I'm just trying to put this all in the current perspective of what's happened since then. We've had still millions of people have crossed our border illegally. And I think looking back on things, Sessions really won the day when he said it's enforcement first. Once we've really enforced this border through a wall, through, other things we'll do, agents actually on the border able to turn people back. I think they're going to probably modify that contiguous country law that doesn't allow us to deport people back to non-contiguous countries immediately. But I think what's obvious after this election is that, you know, the people didn't trust government and they didn't trust this mega, you know, Corker-Hoven or the Schumer-Rubio. And it's nothing personal against you, but they're like, look, you either stop this flow across the border. We're not going to talk about any temporary amnesty. We're just not going to do it.
Well, that's right. I think it's secure the border first. I think that is what Americans want. And then they want a step-by-step approach rather than one big bill. And again, as I said earlier, my amendment to that bill was the border security piece.
But I get it. But what Corker did, a step-by-step approach. But what Corker did is I think Corker kind of gutted what you wanted to do. I actually read your amendment, so I'm like one of the few people in the media who actually read these behemoths. But what? And it's a nightmare, by the way.
That's because you're a Dartmouth.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, when did you graduate? Hey, Senator, what year did you graduate? Like 87? When did you graduate?
That'd be nice. Thank you. I graduated the same year as your friend Peter Robinson, who was a speechwriter for Ronald
1980.
Reagan, a very good friend.
80 or 79?
1979.
Good man.
1979. Yep.
Well,
yeah.
I say wahoo wah to you. I know it's not politically correct. Do you know,
exactly.
By the Senator, do you know that I actually did a poll of all living Indian chiefs when I was at the Dartmouth Review with the Gallup organization? And 83.7% of all living Indian chiefs wanted the Indian symbol back at Dartmouth. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know, but I remember that you wrote for the Dartmouth Review. I think that was started, shortly after
you left.
Peter and I left, as
yeah.
I recall. Or maybe right about,
1981, it was started.
That's very shortly after.
Senator, what are you concerned about with Trump? I mean, there's a lot of excitement around Trump, but there are concerns. There are concerns about what he said about NATO coming from McCain and others. There are concerns about, you know, rattling the international order. What do you think he needs to be most careful about in relation to the things that he maybe have promised during the campaign?
Well, look, he's promised change, and anytime you bring change, obviously people are uncertain what that means. But we need to make changes to get this country back on track, and I think the things he's talking about can get us back on track. And so we're trying to work with this administration to reduce the regulatory burden. I call it focus on the fundamentals. Reduce the regulatory burden, reform the tax code, get on top of the debt and deficit, strong support for law enforcement and for our military so Americans feel safer at home and abroad. I think if we do these things, the economy gets growing, we get more jobs and things start to work. But it's just, people are uncertain as he comes in, but I'm hoping this is the change we need, like I say, to get our country back on track.
Senator Hoven, we're thrilled about the pipeline, what it will mean for the good people of North Dakota and the country at large with lower prices. And we just look forward to watching you and analyzing this situation as it goes forward. And we certainly hope those jobs are given to Americans who are desperately in need of good paying jobs. And we'll look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much. And wahoo wah.
Thanks, Laura. Good to be with you.
All right. You take care. We'll take a break. Close this out. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.